Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are halfway through the week, and we have a lot to get to. I'm going to be sad when this McAuliffe versus Youngkin election comes to an end. The campaign season has been kind of fun. I mean, the Democrats are pulling out the best and the brightest. This is like an all-star game. This is like an all-star game, but there's no Jim Crow 2.0 involved because it's in Virginia. It's weird to watch. We saw earlier this week they brought out Obama, and that was leading up to them bringing out Joe Biden. I would think that your final act would be your best one, you know, that the biggest star power. That's how it usually goes. You go to a concert, you know, the opening act is usually kind of a nobody, and then it gets bigger and bigger as the show goes on. So their headliner was Joe Biden.
Yikes.
Yikes does not even begin to cover it, Jared.
Was he wearing his jacket from when he was a kid? He looked like he was in one of those old photos back when kids wore the short pants and they had like that tight buttoned up. Like
he did have a weird thing. Jacket
like, what
on.
What was that about?
Yeah, I can't lie. It was around 7:50 that this kicked off Biden's speech at this rally, and I was not watching it. I think I was, what was I watching?
Paint dry, grass grow.
I think I was watching a Jeopardy rerun. So yeah, just about. And it went about as great as you'd expect. I mean, Joe was really off his game. I think the part of it that made it the most amusing was that Terry McAuliffe was right in the camera angle, so he was right behind Joe. And I was reading Red State today. I've said this a couple times. My favorite breakdown of Joe Biden's speeches is from Nicarima on Red State, because she puts all the clips with it. And she really did nail it when she said, you know, you could sense that Terry McAuliffe was holding his breath as he was watching Joe Biden. He had a look of fear coming out of his eyes, like, okay, almost there. Oh, please wrap it up. And he did keep it pretty short. It didn't go well. And this comes on the heels of Terry McAuliffe telling his team on a Zoom call that Joe Biden is not popular in Virginia, which is true. We actually have that flashback cut here. Let's play. What cut is this? Cut three, please, Jared.
But we got to get Democrats out to vote. We are facing a lot of headwinds from Washington. As you know, the president is unpopular today, unfortunately, here in Virginia. So we have got to plow through
and bring them out to try to get the votes out. It was a small crowd. I should really set the scene here, you know, so people feel like you're there. I want you to feel the excitement that was happening last night. It was a very small crowd. I don't know what the excuse for that is. I'm sure we can blame Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, the unvaccinated, COVID-19, the Mu variant, the Delta variant, and all the rest. But
it was the supply chain. They couldn't get enough people there.
They're all
stuck in the port.
They're all stuck in the cargo ships. Yeah, it wasn't a raucous crowd, but, and there was hecklers too. There were some people with signs. I actually was reading, Spectator has a piece out, and it's from like their anonymous gossiper at Spectator. Cockburn is what it's called. And he wrote that the sign said, let me see this. Let's go, Brandon. Virginia runs on Youngkin and more like Terry McAuliffe. Not bad.
Not bad.
Virginia runs on Youngkin. That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
And it's a lot classier than FJB.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I'm sure there was a lot of let's go, Brandon last night. At one point, they were heckling him. And it was weird because they were heckling him. I couldn't make out exactly what they were saying. And then he started saying to the hecklers, oh, come meet me afterwards. I'll take your questions after. which no one believes that. Like, he's going to meet with people afterwards. That always goes well when he takes questions from random people. He ends up calling them fat or pointing his finger in their face.
I'll meet you out in the parking lot, Jack.
I'll frack with you later. That's what he should have said. But let's go through this piece here, and then we have the accompanying sound cuts to get you through this. I'm sure most of you tuned in live wherever this was broadcast to see this event. You know, the plus side of this was a lot of people, as we saw towards the end of it, did not wear masks, which made me happy. The downside is that when Joe Biden, again, I always say this, I cannot for the life of me figure out this guy's mask logic. And I know what you're thinking. Grace, there is no logic. I realize that. But even amongst the most phoniest of phony COVID frauds, they have some sort of method to their madness. With Joe, he seems to only put the mask on at times where he is in no danger of harming anyone. And then at other times, at other times when he's out in a crowd and he's inches away from a woman's face, you can see the spit. Tucker Carlson played a clip of him last night. You could see the droplet, as Fauci would call it, go out of his mouth and onto the woman's face. I felt like I was watching the episode of Seinfeld with Keith Hernandez where they replayed the JFK scene. Like, I could see the spit, where it landed.
Back and to the left.
Yes. And then he decides not to wear it. Crossing a lawn to get to a helicopter all by himself, mask on. You know, outside at a podium all by himself, mask on. Visiting Jimmy Carter, who's about 1,000 years old, and taking a picture on his lap, mask off. Hugging small children at an elementary school, mask off. Going into a swarm of people and spitting into their ears, mask off. Someone make this make sense. But that was the end. I skipped to the end there. We have to start. Let's start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. All right. So Joe Biden speaking with Terry McAuliffe, and I'm going to use Nicorama's piece here for reference. Biden doesn't have any ability to really draw anyone. He surely doesn't give an inspiring stump speech, which you are all about to witness. If you have him there, you have to be crossing your fingers that he doesn't say or do anything that's dumb or takes the focus off of being positive for McAuliffe. It's almost a given that he's going to say or do something ridiculous. And of course, he did. Now, Nicorama starts with this cut of which a lot of people commented. He gives a shout out to Governor Ralph Northam, who, P.S., when Governor Ralph Northam had a small, tiny scandal, you probably don't remember it. It was it involved blackface and his yearbook. Joe Biden was one of the first people to say he should resign. He proudly stated that Northam should resign. It seems as though they've mended fences. Because listen to how he introduces Northam. Cut six.
It goes without saying how much I appreciate your current governor, Ralph Northam. Where's Ralph? There you are, pal.
Pal? Don't you mean person who should be ashamed of himself?
I loved Ralph Northam and the Honeymooners. The bus driver, when he'd say the moon thing, hilarious.
He also, this is a really funny part, and I like the way that Nick writes this. Maybe you can figure out what Biden does to the sentence. He just butchers it and then basically gives up on it, gives up on trying for any coherence at the end. I don't even have to guess which one this is. This is cut seven.
In fact, we're taking a page from Terry's book when he was governor and when he'd be governor next time. We're emerging from this pandemic. We want to expand pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, millions of pre-K students.
Oh, come on, man. You can't.
I can say quite clearly.
You can't give up on the sentence. You started it. You have to finish that. Can we fast forward to the end of that? He just trails off and hopes that no one hopes the applause, the minimal applause, by the way. It sounds like it's 10 people. He's hoping that will drown out the fact that he can't finish this sentence.
Pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, millions of pre-K students.
He just ran out of steam. That was like hearing a balloon just run out of air. Thank God for those applause. They really saved him, I guess. And then, of course, what the entire stump speech was about was not Terry McAuliffe, and it was not Glenn Youngkin. It was all about You guessed it. Cut five.
Joe Biden. I ran against Donald Trump. And Terry is running against an acolyte of Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trump? Now he doesn't want to talk about Trump anymore. Well, I do. Donald Trump or Trump? Why Trump? Trump did this. That's who Donald Trump is. To Donald Trump. To Trump, former President Trump. He endorses Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trump. I love this one. Trump to Donald Trump. It's to Donald Trump. Oh, Donald Trump. Loyally to Trump. With Trump being here. Thank you.
Remember when they were going to call Trump T.O.G., the other guy? Because they didn't want to say his name. That lasted for like 40 seconds. They are addicted to this man.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
They can't. They can't. And I don't think they ever will. They love Donald Trump so much. He takes up so much room in their heads rent-free. He's just chilling there. Joe Biden, to be fair, he probably had no idea why he was there in the first place. So they probably said to him, hey, just go up and talk about Trump. That it worked for Governor Gavin Newsom. Just go up there, talk about Trump, very fine people. You know all the lies to spew. And then come back and we'll give you some ice cream. I hope he got an ice cream. That is a side note of this that we should kind of dive into here. This speech was late at night. And I actually just got off the phone with Howie. I know people get mad at me for referencing Howie so much. What can I say? I'm part of the Howie Carr Radio Network. I talk to him every day. And Howie said, you know, I don't appreciate him doing these late night events. I like him doing things for my show, you know, kind of in the afternoon, which for Joe Biden is late enough. But this event he had last night, according to his public schedule, which was packed, by the way, lunch with Kamala at 12:50 and then one event for Terry McAuliffe at 8 o'clock at night. There was a little bit of a gap. We call that a nap gap where he can snooze for a few hours. This event was at 8 o'clock at night. So what do they do in that situation? Do they get the ice cream after and try to, you know, have that be the incentive to get through it? Or do they stop and get it before and risk a sugar high?
I think they have to stop and get it before because the ice cream parlors may close at 10. So, you know, we got to get it in beforehand. Give them that little sugar boost, you know?
Well,
then let them go out on the field and run around and wear himself out like you do with little kids.
Jared.
Just go on the playground.
You know Amtrak Joe doesn't mind having to, you know, keep people there a little bit later or maybe reopen the shop late at night.
That's true.
He doesn't mind special attention.
Did he take the Amtrak to get there?
Well, hey, I don't think he told the Amtrak story last night.
What?
I have to imagine at some point someone from his staff is going to say, sir, we're going to give you the buzz if you tell that story again. Like, you know, the dog collar. That's got to happen soon. The fifth time that he told that story about Angelo, I can't take it anymore. I'm waving the white flag. I cannot take it anymore. Now, we have one more cut here, Jared. We'll save this when we get back. And we also have a hilarious fact check about Terry McAuliffe. This is the little hint I'm going to give you. If Terry McAuliffe does not succeed in becoming governor of Virginia, he could get a very good gig. He would be very equipped to work at the New York Times. That's all I'm going to say. Damning with faint praise, indeed. Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and our freedoms. Isn't that the truth? National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. That will be here before you know it. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreath have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to cemeteries at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. One more time, that's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We will be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I know I'm not an expert politician. I'm not a master legislator like Nancy Pelosi. But I don't get, maybe someone can explain it to me. If you're running in a state that the president's poll numbers are sinking in. I mean, they're sinking nationally, but Terry McAuliffe admitted himself that Joe Biden's not popular in Virginia. And he seems to be a bit of a train wreck, and you seem to be a bit of a train wreck. Is that your move, is to say, let's get him here and have him get up in front of this small crowd of people, I think most of whom were hecklers, and kind of trying to just get a rise out of him? I just want to understand the logic, because maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe it's like, you know, every knock a boost, it's like, well, you can't go wrong with the president. Any president, no matter how unpopular, is better than no president. But I don't know. I could see bringing Obama out, and that kind of backfired too. But the Joe Biden is just really, really bad. Let's play this last cut here, Jared. Cut 8, Joe Biden is talking about people buying stuff.
People are buying more things. Manufacturing is up. We're on the move, but we're on the right track.
We're on the move, but we're on the right track.
Manufacturing.
Yeah, that's a tough one for him. I can't blame the saboteur for that. That's a pretty basic word. That's a bugaboo for Joe that he's going to have to tackle on his own time. Today's poll question is brought to you by OrthoFeet. OrthoFeet's unique premium orthotic insoles give your feet the comfort they deserve. And there's nothing better than having comfortable feet. So treat your feet to a pair of OrthoFeet shoes. Just go to OrthoFeet.com. That's OrthoFeet.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the next TV interviewer ask Fauci about the Beagles?
Well, a lot is happening right now with COVID and with these vaccines. So today I saw the CDC is saying that people can get their fourth COVID shot.
What is it, 6 punch cards? You get a free one?
I mean, I remember reading a Babylon Bee headline that said, like, oh, we're all going to have to walk around with IV drips dripping in this vaccine to us around the clock. But that's becoming more and more of a reality, it would seem. Yeah, so the fourth COVID shot. And also, I believe yesterday, was it Pfizer or the FDA announced that kids are eligible to get the vaccines?
A low dose of the Pfizer vaccine has been endorsed by the FDA.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking to Carol Markowitz about that in the 1 o'clock hour. But I'm sure that those questions would get asked before a question about the poor Beagles. Howie said yesterday, yes, he thinks the interviewer would have to ask about it. I'm going to say no. I've seen them not ask about worse. Maybe not worse, but I've seen them not ask about important things to Dr. Fauci. So I'm going to say no.
90% of the audience believes no, it will not
come up. Wow. All right. We're on the same page. Christopher, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Christopher.
Grace, two vaccines have been rolled out. I think it's next week here in Cambridge for ages 5 to 11. People laugh at Cambridge and they think that, oh, this is just a crazy place. But this sort of madness is going to affect everyone else in the rest of Massachusetts. So people can laugh at it now, but the way the public school system here is treating these kids, and I don't have kids, but it's still shocking even for me, the way they're treating these kids with the masks until January 15 at least, pumping the vaccines into kids 5 to 11, it's insanity. And it's a social, not only is it a social laboratory, they're treating these kids as physical laboratories for these vaccines. I don't know why we are vaccinating anyone who doesn't need it. And in this case, for kids, it's 99.9% of them.
Yeah, and in the piece that Carol wrote, we'll talk to her about it in a little bit, Christopher, she says, while I'm sure the side effects of a vaccine for these kids is low, the chances of dying from the virus are very low. And I've said this from the beginning. Why can't you choose which risk you want to take? Or at least your kids can take. We all know we're not allowed to choose our risks anymore. And we might get fired. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. Terry McAuliffe's getting fact-checked next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We're going to be taking calls the entire show, except for between 1:30 and 2, when we talk to Carol Markowitz about the latest update with children and getting the jab. But speaking of that, I'm glad that last caller gave me this excuse to read the story. Do you remember, it was at the beginning of October, it was not a long time ago, that the New York Times had to retract a massive exaggeration about the number of children hospitalized by COVID-19. How massive, you ask? Well, let me tell you. In an article, this is from Yahoo News, in an article published by New York Times reporter Apoorva Mandavili on Wednesday, Times readers were told that nearly 900,000, remember that number, okay? 900,000 children have been hospitalized with COVID-19 since the pandemic began. A correction issued later noted that the correct number, not 900,000, the correct number is 63,000.
I can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
His math goes beyond fuzzy. His math is something else. And so that brings me to a little update on the update of the retraction of the correction. Because Terry McAuliffe seems like he would be a prime candidate to work at the New York Times. I smell a Pulitzer Prize in his future, okay? And he'll never have to give it back, no matter how much he lies. Because he's getting fact-checked. Not by Grace Curley. Not by the right-wing, fake outrage, echo chamber machines that Obama hates so very much. No. He's getting fact-checked by Glenn Kessler from the Washington Post. That's right. He's getting Pinocchio'd. You know what we should come up with, Jared? Whenever I read a Pinocchio story, a little sound cut of Pinocchio. I'm not familiar with the movie, but I feel like there's, I'm a real boy, or like something like that we could use in these situations.
All right. Yeah, I'll get to work on that.
It's very tough stuff I give Jared that he has to go through here. Terry McAuliffe keeps inflating coronavirus numbers. Now, this is from the Washington Post. Now, they start with a couple of quotes from Terry McAuliffe. And rather than try to find all of these, because some of them were, you know, in interviews, I think, that weren't audio, I'm just going to read them to you. This was on October 7th. He said, just this week, 8,000 cases on Monday in Virginia. We in Virginia today, 1,142 children are in ICU beds. Now, October 13th, Terry McAuliffe says, today, 1,100 children are in hospitals here in Virginia. Now, this is Terry McAuliffe on October 21st. We just had 4,000 cases yesterday here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We've just had 1,142 children in serious in hospitals in ICU beds. Now, this is October 23rd. He says, here in Virginia, you should understand 1,142 of our children have been in hospitals because they got COVID. Now, this is Glenn Kessler. I'm going to skip around here because this is a long piece to say liar. You know, sometimes you can just say, oh, he's a liar. But Glenn Kessler makes it kind of into a novel. He says, in speaking about the threat of the coronavirus to the state, McAuliffe frequently touts numbers, often wrong numbers, about the impact on children. We first became interested in this issue when McAuliffe, in the second and final debate on September 28th, said that there were 8,000 coronavirus cases, quote, yesterday in Virginia, end quote. He then repeated the statement the next day and a week later. But when we checked the records, you had to go back to January to find a single day when a combination of confirmed and probable cases in Virginia got close to 8,000. On September 27th, there were fewer than 2,000 confirmed cases. Now, the part of this I don't understand is Glenn Kessler mentions all of these times where McAuliffe said a number that was out of bounds, that did not make any sense. And then he'll say things like this. This certainly would leave the misleading impression he was talking about a one-day number, but we got busy with other stuff and chose not to do a fact check. Do you think they would have gotten busy with other stuff if Terry McAuliffe had been, I don't know, a Republican?
Also, I'm not an expert on the days. I'm not a, you know, Gregorian calendar maker, but yesterday alone would seem to indicate to me that he meant in one day, Glenn Kessler.
You would think. And what about McAuliffe's October 7th comment that 1,142 children were in ICU beds? The number seemed totally off kilter. For the week ended October 2nd, the number of children in hospitals, not necessarily in intensive care, was just, care to guess? Anyone? Anyone?
61.
35! He said there were 1,142 children. There were 35.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Someone clear out a desk at the New York Times. We have our lead writer right here. As long as he doesn't win this race, God willing he won't. You guys have a new man on the beat. And you know what? You know what Glenn Kessler writes after that? That the number was just 35. And then Glenn Kessler says, the McAuliffe campaign said that he simply misspoke. Okay, we moved on. But then he said it again on October 21st. The amount of times that you have to lie as a Democrat to get a Pinocchio from Glenn Kessler, it is truly a tough thing. You have to, you almost have to call up and ask him to write a fact check for you. Because at every turn in this piece, he says, we really asked them and we really tried to, you know, we tried to figure it out, but he just kept saying it. It was like they were issuing him warnings every time they call up his campaign. You know, it seems like his numbers are off. We'd hate to write a fact check, so trying to make sure that he can clean this up. And then he'd come out the next day, same number, right in their faces, begging them to fact check him. But then he said it again on October 21st. There's the quote, 1,142 children. The real number, 35. That was still wrong. On that day, there were only 334 people of all ages. So he says 1,142 children in ICU beds. And of all ages, there's only 334. This is some interesting accounting by Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe also said we had just 4,000 cases yesterday here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, which again appears to be a weekend total, though he was speaking on a Thursday. Virginia has not experienced more than 4,000 confirmed or probable cases in a day since September 20th. A week earlier, on October 13th, McAuliffe used a slightly different figure regarding children, but it was still too high. Today, 1,100 children are in hospitals here in Virginia. The confirmed hospitalizations for all ages on that day was 1,471, and of course, a smaller percentage of children get really sick with COVID. Finally, during the rally with Obama on October 23rd, McAuliffe said, here in Virginia, you should understand that 1,142 of our children have been in hospitals because they got COVID. If you have not figured out, if you are out there, if you're listening to me, if you're in your garage, if you're in your car, if you're at work, if you have not figured out that Democrats are just complete and total liars and they do not care. They don't care if Glenn Kessler's knocking on the door. They don't care about the Pinocchios. They will just lie, lie, lie. And the more desperate they become, the less they care about being any kind of honest.
COVID illnesses are like Amtrak miles. You know, the numbers just keep expanding exponentially. Exponentially.
Correct yourself. This phrasing suggests that McAuliffe is talking about not a daily figure, as he frequently indicated, but a total since the beginning of the pandemic. That certainly would be closer to reality. Virginia reports a total of 952 hospitalizations and 10 deaths of children 0 to 17 years of age. Why has McAuliffe repeatedly used a higher number than that? Good question. A spokesman for his campaign did not respond to emails and text messages over a period of 4 days. Speaking of four, that's how many Pinocchios McAuliffe received from Glenn Kessler. And I'm sure it pained Glenn Kessler to write that. I'm sure it was really, really tough to write four Pinocchios. I'm going to finish this with just saying that Terry McAuliffe deserves to lose. He really does. I really hope he loses, and I hope people are paying attention, and I hope there's a great turnout, and I'm just looking forward to seeing that race. But this entire idea, the reason this story is so infuriating is not just because he's lying about the numbers and, you know, frequently being fact-checked. It's because he knows that this is a way to scare people. This is what they've been doing since the beginning. That's why the kids have the masks on. The kids have to learn the zombie walks to the cafeteria. The woman who wrote in yesterday to Slate magazine that her daughter was hanging out on the couch with another kid and eating out of a bowl of chips, and she almost went into shock about it, had to quarantine her daughter for 2 weeks and defunkify the entire house. They know that this stuff plays on people's fears, on weak people's fears, because those people don't look at the actual numbers. They hear a number like 1,142. And they go around talking about it to all of their other Karen friends at the grocery store.
Same crowd that's still saying, oh my God, Florida is the worst at this. Their cases are terrible. They just hear a number and they don't even bother to fact check it themselves.
It's insane. And now that this comes out that they're going to vaccinate children, I feel really sorry for parents who are hesitant about this, because it's going to be such a battle. I mean, it already is. But it's just going to be terrible, because I don't blame people. I think a lot of people were willing to get the shot, to move on with our lives and to get back to normal. But there's no off ramp here. And now we started with 2 weeks to slow the spread so we wouldn't overwhelm the hospitals. Then it was wait till we get a vaccine, which even then we were told that could be years. You know, Trump's crazy. That's going to take forever. But we got a vaccine, so we were all happy about it. And then it was, wait, whoa, hold on. All the vulnerable old people have to get the shots. Okay, so they all did. Okay, no, but everybody has to get the shots. Some adults are young and healthy. Well, we're going to mandate it. And if you don't get the shot, you're going to lose your job. Well, I have to feed my family, so I guess I'll get the shot. And now it's your young child who has a very slim chance of getting sick from the virus, let alone dying from the virus, has to get the shot. I don't think people are going to go for it. I really don't. I'm curious what other people think. 844-500-4242. And I should mention here, maybe I'll save this for when we get back, but it just drives me crazy that Deborah Birx, remember her? She was the one with the scarves who would come out during those COVID press briefings. Now she's trying to slam like Scott Atlas and Trump and say that, oh, if we had just done things differently, things could have worked out if people had taken it more seriously. Shut up. Like, honestly, I read this entire article about her whining about how people didn't take it seriously enough and, oh, we could have saved so many more lives. Oh, really? Because haven't more people died now since Biden became president?
Yes.
Than when Trump was president from COVID? So, oh, it's too bad. I guess it's too bad you quit, Deborah Birx, because if Joe Biden would have clearly taken your advice so much more seriously. P.S., speaking of your advice, remember when you didn't take your own advice and you traveled to your second home to winterize it and had Thanksgiving with multiple separate families or households or whatever was the jargon that you used for the rest of us? Remember that? Oh, but if we all followed your rules, you didn't have to follow them, but if we all had followed them more closely, we would have fared much better during this. Give me a break. I am so done with all of these experts. Oh, and I have another story when we get back that I want to read. There was a really sad story about a girl who has Down syndrome, and she got back from school and her mask was tied on to her face. And her father is, you know, rightfully so. He's furious. We have sound cuts from that. 844-500-4242. AG Garland is testifying. Senator Tom Cotton is asking him a lot of questions. So we will definitely be tuning into this in a little bit. It's looking like they're asking him to resign. I'll give you some updates when we get back. This is the Grace Curley Show. And don't forget that the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of Eden Pure's best-selling products. And right now they're extending their special Thunderstorm 3-pack offer through the end of October. This is a great product. I'm going to hold it up for the Rumble because people always ask me how big it is. It's like the size of a computer charger. People don't even notice it's in your house, but they do notice how fresh and clean the air smells, Jared.
Yes, because it has the ions that ionize the air, which creates that special super oxygen, which gets rid of any odors that you may have hanging around, allergens, pollutants, things like that in the air that you just don't want people breathing. And this time of year, the windows are shut. I mean, especially last night with the wind and the rain going everywhere. You had your windows shut. The air gets a little stale. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm can help you out with that, too.
Absolutely. It's a great product. It's easy to use. You just plug it in. No air filters are required. Sometimes you see these in like office buildings and they look like a machine out of Ghostbusters. This is just a small, chic, easy to use machine. Just plug it in. Don't worry about it after that. And right now, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com, you click on my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special three pack. That means you'll get three units. So that's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. This offer ends October 31st. We will be back with your calls and more stories. So here's the headline that I'm going to read when we get back. Parents say public school tied mask on their nonverbal special needs child with a rope. Horrible, horrible story. We will read it when we return.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Wow. Senator Tom Cotton just finished Merrick Garland. It wasn't
Garland-Merrick.
It wasn't even pretty. It was someone step in. This guy's getting knocked out. I mean, it was just really bad. We'll have all the sound after this. I'm really excited to play it. Merrick Garland, like, he couldn't even explain himself. He's just, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He honestly gives Blinken a run for his money as far as looking completely frightened and out of place.
I'm not going to lie. I despise every single person in this administration, and they are all just a who's hacks of the best and the brightest. But I absolutely, thoroughly love watching them get exposed as idiots and frauds and failures.
Yeah, and people like Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley and Rand Paul, all these senators, they're excellent and they're very, very smart. I always say to a battle of wits, they are definitely coming armed. But you don't even have to be top-notch to destroy these guys. Yeah, they have no answers.
Ben Sasse delivered a body blow today to Merrick Garland.
Yeah, exactly. So the bar is pretty low. John, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Good afternoon, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I think that a lot of us are missing the boat on why there's a push to vaccinate the children 5 to 11. I think it's really tied into the profit margin of the pharmaceutical companies.
I don't doubt that, John. I mean, I've had this conversation before, and I keep saying it. And Jared, write this down right now, please, so that I don't forget. We do have to have someone on from Big Pharma, because whether I'm talking to family or friends or other writers, the common theme is this: at this point, there's no way this is about safety. This has got to be a money thing. I mean, there's just, if someone has natural immunity and you still make them get vaccinated, that has got to have to do with your bottom line, with cha-ching, cha-ching. There's no question. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. Good insight. So there's a little girl in Florida. She's 7 years old, and she's special needs with Down syndrome. She attends school, and she came back home with a mask tied to her head and neck with a nylon rope. Her mask was saturated with her own saliva. This is a really sad story. This little girl has a larger tongue than most kids would, like based off her medical conditions. And so it's very hard for her to breathe normally. And then she had this mask on all day. Her parents didn't know about it until one day they forgot to take it off for before they sent her home. And the father spoke to a local news channel. We have all those cuts when we get back. Plus, Carol Markowitz. And you do not want to miss Merrick Garland. I'm shocked to say this. He did not disappoint. We'll be right back.